8:50, The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You tuned your computer to 98 on 8:50, The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host, for the next 2 hours here with Larry Dive.
Turn on my mic.
No, I don't want to.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. Our number is 860-0850, #850 if you are a 360 communication customer. And our sponsors today are Computer Renaissance. Computers 98 is brought to you by Computer Renaissance. Where is it? Here it is. With two area locations.
Get it together.
Crossroads Shopping Center in Cary and in Raleigh in the North Hills Plaza across from North Hills Mall. And pay them a visit. Great selection of new and used hardware. With us in the studio also is David Gardner.
Good morning.
Good morning, David. I'm trying to think. No, it's Catherine. How do I introduce you now?
I'm the father of Catherine.
The father of the publisher of the... He's Catherine's father.
Thank you.
David is publisher of...
I'm president of Computer News Group.
Computer News Group.
Former editor and publisher.
Former editor and publisher. Not that he doesn't have his hand in the pie anymore.
Was he the Rupert Murdoch of computer publishing?
Just about.
Yeah, right. The Rupert Murdoch of the Research Triangle.
Yeah. And
incidentally, I used to work with Rupert Murdoch.
He is
a good man.
He is?
Mm-hmm. I taught him everything he knows.
Oh, contrary to all of the press reports.
Okay. David is here as a friend, and also because this week is IMEF Expo. And David, you're the organizer. A lot of people probably don't know it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I am the guilty party for organizing INET Expo. Do you know what INET stands for, Amnon?
Internet?
It stands for the Internet Networking Expo.
Okay.
Do you know what internet working means?
No.
It means intranet, local area networks, and wide area networks. So anyone interested in any of the above topics?
In internet and intranet?
Local area networks and wide area networks.
It doesn't have to do with internet. I mean, if they have a local area network using
cable and ethernet cards.
Right.
Anything.
Two computers talking
right.
to each other.
Yep.
Either over the internet or within the office are a definite... It's a definite place for people to learn more about networking through the seminars and to see what the exhibitors have to show.
Anything that would have to do with computers talking to each other, and especially these days, it's the internet.
Right.
So, good. So it's more than just the few of us that use the internet.
Well, that's true. Right now, the estimates are between 11 and 20 million homes in America have two or more PCs.
Mm-hmm.
So now, in 1998, the big push for companies like Microsoft and Apple is to get home computers networked. A lot of operating systems are coming out this year. All of the Ethernet manufacturers are coming out with new products targeted at networking home PCs. And you're going to see that in all the newspapers, all the magazines, a lot of information coming about people networking computers now.
Mm-hmm. And the show is the 21st and 22nd?
Correct. 21st and 22nd this week. That's Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. at the Raleigh Convention and Conference Center. And admission is free for anyone who will register online at www.inet-expo.com. com. Or you can call our office on Monday at Computer News Group, and that number is 881-3177. And we'll get you registered free of charge for entrance into the expo and for the gigantic list of seminars that we have.
When is the deadline for pre-registration?
We could probably take it up until about noon on Tuesday. We're setting up registration on Tuesday, so we could take it up to about noon Tuesday.
And if people show don't pre-register and just show up at the door?
If they'll tell us they listen to Computers 98, we'll certainly let them in free.
Okay.
Well, that's nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have to check my my checkbook later on. What do you
do? Oh, okay. I thought breakfast was enough.
You're listening to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And we're talking with Dave Gardner of Computer News Group about the IMIT conference that's coming up. Other things that are that I wanted to talk about a little bit is, first of all, the AMD 233 megahertz chip.
Yes.
Is doing a tumbling at.
You mean in price?
The price is coming
down.
Oh,
good. Because they're getting ready to come out with a new one.
I get who cares?
The new one's the AMD 300.
What we care about is this is cheaper. That's what we care about.
Cheaper, better, faster.
Right.
And they're also, also going to be competing against Intel's new 400 megahertz chip that's going to be coming out in about a month.
And against SUSU's 700.
I want it.
I want it too, yeah. You know what I forgot, Dave? And you forgot it too. Computer News Group. I mean, that. Computer News Magazine. Computer
News.
I really want to talk about that new look. I love it.
Thank you, sir. Just the beginning of a new look.
I left it right there. Door, and I forgot.
Why don't you show all the people on?
Okay,
right?
This
is radio. Don't you remember?
Dave brought the paper to the office.
The new one?
Thursday, the new one. And I looked at it, and I said, it's bigger. And he said, no, it's 48 pages. I said, no, it's bigger size. He said, no, it's the same size. I went and got one of the old ones, and I put it next to it. And it is the same size. I put it side by side, and it still looks bigger.
Well, that's good, right?
What's going on?
We have a new advertising agency that's trying to get me into the 20th century, and they redesigned it to make it look sleeker, and we can get more information in the same amount of space.
It's really, I was really impressed. It's nice.
And it's all that good-looking advertising in it as well.
Yeah. Yep. Obviously.
So what else do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about people that buy HP computers.
Ooh, this is a subject this week, isn't it? Shall we begin that saga, the HP saga?
The HP saga.
Well, it is important because you and I have talked a number of times, and we tell our people, our listeners, about proprietary computers, and these are the ones that are sold so often in the big stores, the Best Buys, the CompUSA, Office Depot, Office Max, the big names, Compaq and Hewlett-Packard and Packard Bell. So, and they have good prices. The problem, or a problem, not only the problem, but a problem with them is when you decide, having purchased one, that you want to do something with it and to upgrade it.
To upgrade.
So I had a friend. Who said to me, I'd like to have this, I'd like to speed it up. He had a 166, if I remember right, and he wanted to upgrade it. So I called my good friend Amnon. I said, I'm bringing down this machine, and we want to take everything out of it that we can save and upgrade it.
Right.
So I brought it to you.
Right. Brought it to me.
And he's still your friend.
I have.
Well, I don't know.
It's really ridiculous.
Go ahead. Because
on the phone, when we were talking, I said, okay, we can take out the CD, we can take out the floppy,
right.
We can take out the hard drive, we can
memory.
Memory.
Modem. You
know, all that stuff. Sound card. You know, there'd be no problem. Of course, you need the VGA card because that's on the board. So he brought the machine over. And first of all, You know how it is when you don't have enough real estate, you build up. HP decided, I mean, they took, and they have two motherboards, one on top of the other. There's a motherboard without any slots, and then there's a board.
Yeah, like slots
like
on.
Just like
a sister board. It's
sitting, yeah, they're sitting on top of it, flat, to put the cards in. So now they're sitting so close to each other that even if you wanted to upgrade the processor on it, you couldn't, because there's no room for a fan in between those two things. Okay. So I said, fine. Then I'm looking, and that sound card that looks from the back just like a normal sound card is not plugged anywhere on a board. It's got a ribbon tape, and it goes into the motherboard. And the same thing with the modem card that has a wire that goes into the CD. You can't use those cards anywhere in a standard machine. So, well, no big deal. You know, $19 sound card. He needs a new modem anyway. Let's take the CD out. Guess what? The front of the CD is the face plate on the case.
Oh, it's wonderful. It is a packing
spider.
It's not
like something that you take and you stick it in. The door and everything that the flap there that you put the CD into it, and it's kind of, this is part of the front of the computer. The CD drive is behind it. You can't use it by itself.
You're saying these are not designed for upgrading.
This is not designed for replacing. Forget about
it. This is it. You buys what you buys.
And the front is curved, you know. Same thing with this stupid floppy. You take out the floppy, there's no face on it. It's like somebody took your face out. Because the face is part of the front panel of the computer. We ended up having to put a floppy and a CD. Things that he didn't really, I mean, there's no reason to do it like that. I'll bet you it costs HP more to have it designed and built for them that way than it is to have just a standard CD that you just slide in and it shows its face through that little opening. It's ridiculous. It's really, really ridiculous.
How many times did you call me last Saturday going, Larry, can we do this?
I mean, because, right, I'm used to take proprietary machines and take the guts out, and I know what you need to take the guts, and I know what you need to buy for the new
and
one.
And use off-the-shelf components.
Yeah, and
right.
I mean, a regular case, and you put whatever you can save into the new machine, so you don't need to buy. Of course, he didn't need to buy a monitor. I hope he didn't, because
no.
I didn't see the monitor. Okay,
no,
thanks.
The monitor worked.
Good.
Just fine. It's good monitor.
But here, it's like, well, oh, no. We need a sound card also, so I call Larry. You know, I don't do the whole thing. When I say, okay, go ahead, and 10 minutes later, oh, Larry, we also need a CD, you know?
At which point you go, well, what are we supposed to do? It's a part.
But don't you find that's the case, though, with most of the superstore-bought computers?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
not saying anything wrong with them, but when you buy one, the Packard Bell, the Hewlett-Packards, the Toshibas, they are not made for upgrade.
That's
well,
why it's ridiculous.
You buy it as you use it as you buy it.
And I think that's the thing that people don't understand, and they need to, is if they buy them, that's what they're buying. Now, Compaq did it with their, the 2100, which is the Media GX.
Yeah,
they told people,
yeah.
This is it, it's a sealed box, you can't do anything with it, this is the whole package.
You open it, the warranty is over
right.
anyway.
But
there's nothing you can put in.
These other companies don't do that, and so you're out there spending, you think you got a nice deal, and you take it home, and you can't, it becomes
now,
a doorstop in 6 months.
You can add cards to it. I mean, it says if you just opened it and wanted to add the network card, you can. There are slots, and they're standard and everything. But you look, and behind what's behind it is, I've never seen such a proprietary thing. Never.
But if you can get a message to your listeners, I think it's got to be, I've never seen anyone buy a computer, heard anyone that didn't eventually have some kind of an upgrade.
And wanted to do something with it.
Right. Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to do something with
it. Oh, absolutely.
So, figure that in when you're buying a computer up front.
This is why people should buy standard, really. Standard computers that anybody can work on, anybody can upgrade. You don't have to go to a specific place to have it worked on.
See, and even though you say there are standard slots there, when I tried to put in a second parallel port,
yeah,
on that HP, trying to configure the BIOS, it was impossible.
It was
so it was hard even to put a second parallel port in this machine. We struggled with it all one day and never really did get it working.
That's about the easiest upgrade you can do.
I mean, $25 card, you open a box up and stick it in.
It's just, I mean, that's fine. You know what's going to happen now? We're going to walk out of the building, and we're going to get an HP
shot by HP.
HP3 fall on my head, you know.
But it's not just HP. I mean,
no,
a lot of the manufacturers.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've seen others, and the HP takes the cake.
Oh.
I mean, it's really, it's proprietary among proprietaries.
Of course, it's maybe because they have now done a major price reduction on what they call their Kayak computer or whatever it is, whatever model it is.
$800 for $233.
Maybe this is the way they're doing it. Is they're selling essentially sealed boxes. And if you break them open,
anyway,
you ain't got anything.
You're listening to Computer 98 on 850 The Buzz, and our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. Either one of you, who wants to comment about what happened this week between Microsoft and...
Oh, we both asked.
We've been discussing this morning.
The DOJ.
Yeah, John just sent me a message. We need to talk about it.
Well, Dave, go ahead, Dad, because you were...
Well, I did some other radio spots this week on another radio station in a sister city here in the Triangle, and I'm probably very pro-business. I believe in letting the free market take care of itself, and I don't particularly care for the Department of Justice or any branch of government for that matter to get involved in business. And I think the Department of Justice, what they're doing is not going to help the consumers or the business community at all. I think it's a typical grandstand play. I think what they're trying to do to Microsoft by barring the inclusion of Internet Explorer within Windows 95, I don't think it's any different than what Microsoft is doing than what Netscape is trying to do with its browser on the desktop, nor is it any different than what Sun is trying to do by making Java on everybody's desktop. It's the three big companies, Sun, Netscape, and Microsoft, that want to own your desktop operating system. And there lies the future of business. And if the federal government decides to tell me what kind of operating system I'm going to have, that also means they're going to tell me what kind of software can be developed for that. So I don't see the federal government doing very good software writing, very much good in software development, and I think they just should stay out of the business. We have not heard the last of this, and it may go all the way to the Supreme Court.
I think it definitely will, Dave. We were talking. Microsoft has now appealed. Well, Microsoft is not doing themselves any favors. They don't seem to be particularly adept at public relations, especially with this judge who they have really made angry.
Right.
I mean, there was a wonderful scenario I heard about how the judge turned to a senior Microsoft attorney and said, "Do you really think that we're so stupid that we can't uninstall your product and understand your software?" And the attorney, after much hemming and hawing, said, "Yes." Oh, you don't say that to a federal judge. But there's a lot more to the story. Microsoft has now appealed the appointment of the special master, Larry Lessig, and that's been a real sore point with them because there's a public email that he sent to Netscape saying that by installing Microsoft Internet Explorer on his machine, he was selling his soul. And that doesn't make for a real... Microsoft can't feel real comfortable about that person being a neutral observer. So, I mean, I agree totally with what Dave says. I don't trust the government to be involved in business and make these kinds of decisions. So we're going to break here.
So we're going to break, and we'll take a break here, and we'll come back. It's probably going to get a little bit more heated.
Good.
Your calls are coming up next on the station to want to pay your rent or mortgage and your car payment. 850 The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host, here with Larry Dial and Dave Gardner of Computer News Group. What do I get the hand for? Oh, okay.
he just
likes me.
John?
Yes, I know.
all right, I tell you what, let's do something here.
This is like I'm in the morning in here.
I'm telling you. I'm trying to be Bernie, but I can't do it.
Larry.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing today?
All morning.
You get brain cancer from holding on the phone so long.
Well, that's, blame our screener and our.
No, you can't blame the screener.
Why
anybody
not?
Anybody who's gonna call right before the commercial break deserves that.
Listen,
and now you're ready and ripe and
Shut up, Ant-Man. Let him ask his question.
Go ahead, Larry. Forgot his question.
Okay, I got an online service like America Online for a couple of years, and I'm getting a little bit bored with it lately, and I'm getting a lot of new services in the mail.
Have you been on within the last couple of years?
What, America Online?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's good, because a lot of people can't get on in the last 2 years.
Well, I have a problem. Like, I'm prime time still with a busy signal. And I want to try that Microsoft Network 4.0, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Larry,
stay away from it.
Larry, let me tell you something.
All right.
When you're saying you're getting bored with it, what are you doing? Are you getting on America Online and you staying within America Online services?
No, I go to the internet also.
So in that case, it doesn't matter which provider you go with, because the internet is the internet. You know, I mean, it's this is to everybody. I get questions when people call me and say, what's the difference between your internet and America Online's internet? People really don't understand.
The same thing.
That when you get on the internet, that's it. It's one network. You're just coming in through a different ramp.
Uh-huh.
And to say that you're bored with America Online will only mean that you're bored with their services.
That's because, probably what I mean by
that. They have a lot of things that they provide you, content.
Uh-huh.
If you don't use it, then it doesn't matter how you get on the internet, as long as you get on the internet.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you think about that browser 4.0?
You mean Internet Explorer?
Right.
I think it's. I don't think I can say the word.
You don't like
on
it.
The air. But I've got people here who swear by it.
Oh,
it's
really,
really personal preference.
Uh-huh.
Preference.
I use both and like them both. I use them all the time. They're just different.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, IE4.0 is a much. I use it all the time. And I fought with it for a while, Amna knows, but I find it to be just fine.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay, I'll probably stick with America Online then, I guess.
All right.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Take care.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling Computers 98 and 850 The Buzz. Let's go to Kyle.
Actually, I am. I was in the morning on 850 The Buzz.
I like it.
How you doing, Amna?
Good morning.
Thanks for having me on your dog and pony show this morning.
Which one is the dog?
Let's talk about that later.
Okay. Oh, all right.
I'm going to swap out my video card. I got to go with an SVGA card. Some of the software that I'm using is requiring that.
And you're going to get a much, much better picture, too, you know.
Yeah, like I'm going to notice the difference. You're talking to somebody who leaves his monitor turned off all the time, Amnon.
Right.
My question is, when I had my system built, it's a Pentium 133. It just had a standard VGA card put in. Is it a pretty good bet that was an ISA card, or is there a way I can tell? Because I'm not sure which one I need to buy, whether I need to buy PCI or ISA.
You better buy PCI, but I don't know. I mean, you have the hardware that speaks to you, right?
Yeah.
Does that depend on the speed that the stuff appears on the screen?
No. The software has its own buffer.
So it really doesn't matter?
No.
So it doesn't matter. Buy the cheapest thing. I would buy PCI anyway, because that will free some of your ISA slots, because ISA slots are not cheap.
Yeah.
But do you have PCI?
Sure I do, yeah.
Is it a Pentium?
Yeah, it's a Pentium 133.
Yeah, you have PCI. Yeah, then buy a cheap PCI. I mean, they're like, I think, about $39, something like
that.
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. I'm gonna try this weekend. I'm finally going to move into... I'm going to put a new video card in, and I'm going to put. I got me a Hewlett Packard scanner. We're going to go with a reading system now that'll read printed materials. So I'll let you know next week what kind of trials and tribulations I go through.
Oh, good.
So this is a weekend. This is the moment of truth. Now we're going to see how this works.
Plug and pray, right?
Plug and pray for
all
sure.
All right.
Have a good one. And I'm starting out blind, so we'll see what happens.
Take care.
I'll see you.
Take care, Kyle.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. It's interesting. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it when we talk. Kyle is visually impaired. I mean, and when I tell him, you know,
you're going to see a better picture. Mm-hmm. You don't understand. I leave my monitor off all the time.
And I don't mean to be a blockhead.
That's very interesting.
But
hardware.
I don't mean to be a blockhead, but why does he want an SVGA?
Apparently his software requires
this. Okay.
Yeah. He's not going to look at it, mm-hmm. but it requires it. I mean, he is computer literate. If he says that it requires it, I'm sure mm-hmm. there is a reason. Let's go to Mike.
Hello, Amnon.
Hey. Mike Williston.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Okay.
What's up?
Well, just listening to the chatter there this morning and the comments about Microsoft and the Justice Department.
Uh-huh.
And since one of your commentators made a philosophical statement about not wanting government interfering with business.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out that in the United States, we have a system in which government always interferes with business, or many times does. And it's not just the Justice Department, it's the Tax Department and all the other things. And business gets goodies from government, as well as slaps on the wrist. And that's the way the world is, and we should recognize that it has two sides.
David?
Unfortunately, I agree with you. I don't have to like it. That
you like the subsidies.
There's no question about that. I'm like everybody else. I like the good things I get from it, not the bad things.
Right.
But I think in this case, the DOJ, the people that are involved are certainly not uninvolved. I think they're a little bit prejudiced against Microsoft in some of the things they've come out and said. I just think that this is going to go on and on and on. And we're going to spend a lot of time and effort and energy and not solve anything.
Well, consider an alternative proposition that was debatable. It would be good if the United States had one vendor of operating system softwares.
It does.
It basically does.
I mean, that's the issue.
Well, is that good?
No. I don't know.
That's debatable thing.
Well, now, wait a minute. Somebody said no, and somebody said I don't know.
Right. I said no, it's not good. Well, I am not. here we go.
I'll leave you guys to work this out. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
No, he makes the real issue.
Very good point. Good point. Very good. Very, very good point.
Yeah.
And you know what John is saying from over there? He said just because it's been done before doesn't mean it should be accepted. And that maybe they don't have a reason to interfere in this business. But you know what? I know somebody that you want the government to interfere with.
Who's that?
Symantec.
I don't want them to interfere with it. I just told everybody that the product's terrible.
Stop.
I don't want the government to interfere with them. I think that the marketplace can interfere with them plenty. and I think that the issue is that consumers need to be as vocal as possible.
Our number is 860-0850. Pound 850 if you are a 360 communication customer, and you're listening to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Larry, is it a good idea to have just one vendor of operating system?
Why not? Because the operating system is the operating system. It's what you do with it that's important. I'd like to see standard operating system and software that we could all work with.
You think there should be only Microsoft?
I don't care whose it is.
No. But you think there should be only one that should not be a choice that the customer could say, well, I'd like to use this operating system.
No, I don't mind there being others. The point is, if we're going to have compatible software,
uh-huh.
if we're going to have compatible computers, there need to be standards set.
Oh, yeah.
And look what happened to OS2. There's no software being written
just
for it.
Because they never made it.
It's not available. It's not the standard.
Right.
Made it what?
But it's just because they didn't help vendors develop software for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because that operating system came at a time when Windows was coming up, and people went for Windows because it was easier first. I don't know about easier, but the main thing was OS 2 required a lot more hardware, a lot faster and more expensive hardware than Windows, so people went with Windows, and as a result, it became the de facto standard. But if I didn't have a choice to use, maybe I want to use Unix, or maybe I want to use DOS, if I had to use Windows 95, or if it was up to Larry, it would be NT, then where would we be?
Well, arguably, the best technology always doesn't win out. I mean, that's a fact of the marketplace.
True.
The best technical operating system is probably Macintosh. I don't think that there's anyone who's worked with an operating, the Mac operating system, who says that its stability and its ease of use to the consumer, it surpasses anything that Windows has ever done. There's just no applications for it, and why is that? That's the real question.
It's because they didn't, unlike Windows and Microsoft, where they opened it up to all the developers with the API, IBM and Macintosh chose not to do that. And look where it's gotten.
Right, that's right.
Some zero market share.
Right, but that's not because there's only one. That's because they did it wrong. Well, I mean, if everything was right, I could see if everything went according to the way that business should be run, we all be sitting today working on TI computers. The TI-994A back in the early 80s was a great computer. Nobody could stand up to it. But they never opened it up, and software dried out, and it died.
Right. So the lesson of that is what? That is, agree upon a standard operating system and let people work applications for it.
Look what we're doing with HTML version 4.0.
Right.
People can come together. Look what's happening now with the 56K modems. There is no standard.
Right.
We don't know when there's going to be a standard. Therefore, the consumer is sitting out there waiting for nothing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I will predict, you haven't asked me, but I'll make a prediction anyway. This is the year of the death march. I think this is the year that Netscape will cease to exist. I do not care what the Department of Justice does. I think that Microsoft will put Netscape virtually out of business this year because come the Department of Justice, I don't care what they do with Internet Explorer 4.0.
Oh, and they can. The only thing is I hear more and more people who don't want to touch Microsoft stuff just because of that. That's stupid. Now, really, that's stupid. It's
There are people out there who still are Mac fanatics, too. So
there
are going to be aficionados, but while I don't know the timing, I agree with Dave. I think the battle is over because Microsoft has too much marketing power. Their product is as good, if not better, than Netscape. And Netscape, and I go back to what Paul Gilster said months ago, they haven't figured out exactly what they want.
What they want, right.
I mean, do they want to be?
When they grow up, what are they going to be? They don't know yet.
They were something once, and now they sort of...
The best thing is if Microsoft bought Netscape.
Why?
And gave it to us.
Why? Just because I said so.
then there would be one browser, see?
Let's talk to Jim and see. He's got a question.
Well, actually, I want to make a comment. The reason that the Macintosh operating system, you talk about not marketing and opening it up, they're in the machinery business, the hardware business, and built the software to go with it, the operating system. Microsoft is simply in the software business, not the hardware business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the big difference right there. Macintosh and IBM try to sell a full computer with what they want on it. Microsoft hasn't built a computer yet.
Yeah, but who makes more money now?
Huh?
Who makes more money now?
Well, obviously Microsoft does, but I'm saying that's the difference in philosophy.
Right. No, I agree. I think I
got to run. I'm getting on an airplane going to San Antonio.
Enjoy.
All right. See
have a safe flight.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For calling 850
the pilot. Have the pilot dial into the show.
It's a very good point.
True.
And if you, Apple's never figured out what they really want to be either. Just like IBM gave away their operating system, and ultimately they gave away their hardware. And have had to buy it back over the years because they priced it to a point where no one would buy it.
No, that's the problem here. And you see, and if there was only Microsoft out there with an operating system,
mm-hmm.
then Microsoft could charge $900 for Windows 95 and would have to buy it.
Right.
And Microsoft could charge $1,500 for Microsoft Explorer and would have to buy it if we want to be on the Internet. The fact that there are others out there is what makes it, it evens things out and it brings it more competition.
But they can do that right now.
What
are you going to buy?
No. I'm saying they don't. I understand. The thing is that if it went away, this is why I say that there should not be just one operating system from one manufacturer, because then they can do whatever they want. And you don't have a choice. If you have a choice, then they always try to compete, and the prices come down, and it gets better and better and better because they're trying to show we're better.
Did the prices come down after the breakup of the Bells, when the baby Bells? I don't think the prices have come down. I think they've gone up.
Or the airlines.
Yeah, it just happens just opposite the way typically the federal government thinks it's going to happen.
Right.
So I think if they break up Microsoft or...
Oh, they shouldn't.
I don't think the price is going to come down. I think the consumer is going to get hurt, as the consumer always
gets
hurt.
But I still don't think that Microsoft should have the right to tell people that build computers you have to put Explorer on. Give it, leave it up to them. If you think that your product is so good, leave it up to the...
But they have agreed to that.
Yeah, I know,
But and all of the manufacturers said, well, we're going to go with it anyway because the consumers want it.
Right, and that, and with that, there's no problem.
It's free trade.
You know, that's it. It's fine.
Look for Apple this year to become very big in the printer market again.
Oh, yeah?
You know how IBM spun off its Lexmark, and now Lexmark's a great printer.
Uh-huh.
Apple is going to start spending a lot of money to get into the printer market in a big way.
And on this note, let's break away. Your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent, your mortgage, and your car payment. 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And we're talking with Dave Gardner. Of course, Larry and me here at the studio. And Dave Gardner of Computer News Group, organizers of iNet Expo. It's coming up this week, Wednesday and Thursday. I'll tell you what, let's go directly to the phones here and see what's... What is John from Durham?
Hi, how you doing?
Good morning.
Got a few questions. One is if you could maybe inform me on, or, you know, educate me a little bit on the newer type technology, like the Pentium 2s and the... 168-pin SD RAM? Like, are they running at a higher bit architecture?
They're running at a higher bit, but I heard that they're running actually slower if you compare benchmarks to computers running just regular 72-pin SIM. They are running at 64-bit, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the memory?
Yeah.
What about, like, the Pentium 2s themselves?
The Pentium 2 are running. Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you mean.
Oh, he's talking about the slots?
Yeah, he's talking about the SD RAM, and then, you know...
All right. Separate.
Yeah. The Pentium 2 is a 64-bit processor. It's something that Intel came out in order to battle the rest of the manufacturers who are developing their own Socket 7, the old-type Pentium. Whether or not it's going to take over the rest of the market is yet to be seen. I mean, a lot of people are selling them, and a lot of people are buying them, but AMD has plans, and Cyrix has plans to keep developing faster chips for the old socket, the Socket 7 standard.
Of course, the other issue on chips, and I don't know if Dave, Dave knows this, I use Pentium Pros, and those are Socket 8, and is specifically written for NT, which is Microsoft's future. So I'm not, and I don't know a lot, you know, other than increasing the onboard cache on the Pentium Pros. The highest pro speeds are 200 clock speed that
right,
I know.
Right. Nobody's talking about Socket 8. So are you saying that Microsoft may start building computers?
Well, what I'm saying is that if NT continues, well, you got Socket 7 and you've got slots.
Right.
But really, the chip that no one talks a lot about, but which is running a lot of workstations, is the Pro.
Well, the thing is, Intel said it themselves when they when the Pentium 2 came up, is that this killed any future development of Pentium Pro.
I know they said that, but they lie a lot too.
Who knows?
Because they put out a Pentium Pro with a 1 meg cache onboard cache,
but it's still 200.
Yeah, but it flies on again. It was the instruction set on it, as I understand it, was written specifically for NT, and they recommend that. So I don't know. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going
on. It's still more expensive than the Pentium 2.
Yes.
So, John, are you still there?
Yeah. The other question I had was on tape backups. I've seen in magazines and catalogs about using your VCR as a tape machine.
You can. You need to get a special card that does it, and you are highly proprietary. Yeah, that's one way to do it, but I don't know why you would want to do it when today you can buy a tape backup unit for about $150 for 3.2 gig and have it in the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're wonderful. They work real well.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a kludge to work with the VCR. Okay?
Yeah, I haven't done much on backups yet, but...
You need to.
Yeah, how would I transfer my main, like, C drive, hard drive, to another one?
You need to use, are you using 95?
Yes.
You need to use a program like
Drive Image.
Drive Image, or what is that?
Drive Copy.
Drive Copy.
Well, Drive Copy was a flop.
Oh, yeah, Drive Image has Drive Copy in it. Yeah.
Or Ghost, which you can actually download from the internet and use it for 30 days.
Okay, sounds great.
It's at www.ghostsoft.com. It works really nice. Okay?
Thank you much.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
What was this word?
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
Is your line? It's a kludge, you say?
It's a kludge to work with the tape, with a VCR. It's something that somebody came up.
Oh, okay.
Idea when tape drives were really.
I couldn't hear what you were saying there for a minute. This is only radio.
That's okay. That's all right.
I can't see your mouth move.
Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Amnon.
Good morning.
Amnon, I have a question about COM ports and COM port settings and on two different machines. One of these is a question that you gave me an answer on a couple weeks ago. It's an old 386 laptop that I was running a fast internal modem into the COM port.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get, machine's running Windows 3.1, in order to get past the 19002 barrier that's COM port set up in Windows 3.1, you sent me into the WinINI.
Right.
And I made those settings and set my COM port up with the right numbers in that. And so I put the numbers in there, and it's my speed, which I think I set at 36,700.
No, there's no such speed.
Okay, what speed?
You can set it up to 19.2, 38.4,
57.600,
right.
Or 115.200.
Right. Comma N, comma 8,
comma 1.
Comma P.
Comma P.
Yeah.
Okay, that was my question, whether it's a P or an X.
The X is X on, X off, which is software.
I understand.
The P is hardware.
That's what I wanted to know about that one.
Yeah, it needs to be P.
Okay, the other question had to do with another machine, which is my Win95 machine. And I want to connect up a Apple LaserWriter 2 in T to that machine. And the manual talks about it's got a serial port,
mm-hmm.
and but doesn't connect up with a parallel port. But the serial port requirements are that it do
9600. You have to set up the serial port to talk to a serial printer.
Okay.
It doesn't just happen automatically.
Right. So 9600 on that.
It's 9600, and it's I think it's even 7-in-1. Oh boy, it's been so many years. You need to have a either the book for the printer or an old DOS manual that will let you know how to do
that. Well, I got the printer book. The printer book talks about two things. One is that this machine has a serial mouse on COM1. COM2 is disabled because I'm running an internal modem.
Okay.
On COM2.
And
so what COM port do I have
available? What you do is you need to be a little creative.
Okay.
Set up the modem as COM3 IRQ5, which it should take.
Mm-hmm.
And then enable your internal COM port again as COM2.
Okay.
So you have COM1 as IRQ4. COM2 is RQ3, and COM3 is RQ5, and then there is no conflict.
Is Windows 95 going to let me do that?
Oh, absolutely. We do it all the time.
All right. The last question about that was that the book on the printer says to connect its serial port to a DOS machine and talks about the cable and talks about a modem emulator. And it says you need that, and it also says your cable or cables should include a modem emulator. Some serial extension cables have built-in modem emulators.
Right.
What are we talking about there?
It's what you need to find is a null modem cable.
A null modem. I know what that is.
Null modem cable.
Right. I know what that one is.
Okay. That's what
the same thing. That's what we're talking about?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Thanks, Amnon.
Okay. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And you're listening to Computer 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850. Pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. David,
Amnon, I just for a minute. I've got a keynote luncheon coming up next Wednesday during INET,
uh-huh.
and a gentleman by the name of Jim Lester is going to be the keynote speaker. from Alta Vista, which is a division of Digital Corporation.
My favorite search engine.
And I would like to make two free tickets available to someone who called in who wants them and who will attend. These are $25 tickets for the keynote luncheon for Wednesday, and I'll make them available to the first caller who wants to attend and hear Jim Lester talk about Alta Vista, which Digital's Alta Vista protects Internet sites such as Netscape, America Online, Lycos, Pointcast, the White House, the FBI, the Kremlin, and Alta Vista Search. So this gentleman...
All in one breath.
Yeah. This gentleman, Jim Lester, is very, very knowledgeable and is going to talk about using the Internet and intranets to realize your company's business advantage. And he's a very good speaker, and I think someone would really enjoy hearing him talk next Wednesday at IMAX.
Okay. I think you already got people calling in.
Let John take them.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, hold on. Yes. Good, John.
Okay. another thing that I wanted to mention again this week, we mentioned it last week, is that we have hardware to be given away, used hardware, to be given away to a nonprofit organization. Hardware that was given to RTPNet, which includes a bunch of MAUs, which are the AUI to twisted pair converters, three 19-inch monitors, monochrome, and some hubs, just communication equipment that if anybody wants to have it, just give me a call during the week at 233-2000.
Yeah.
We have somebody, yeah.
Yeah, and the important point is that this is specialized equipment. So
it's very highly specialized.
Yeah, people are out there looking, even with good causes, this is not standard computing
equipment. No, it's not for...
So.
By the way, David, here's this, and the winner is... the winner for the two tickets is Larry. And I assume you have his full name and everything? Okay. You have somebody.
We got
you
it.
Have a taker, and congratulations, Larry. You got the...
Is Larry online?
Let's see. Somebody's talking to you.
It's got a good name.
Yeah, it's got a very good name.
Stop the technology madness. Amnon, while you're holding there... I would like to find out for our newspaper, for Computer News, I would like to find out a list of organizations in the area that would like to receive hardware as donation.
Very good.
I get a lot of requests for that, and I don't know who to tell them to contact.
Well, I normally tell people that they can bring hardware to me because I give it to schools, and people do call me about stuff like that.
Yeah, but sort of a clearinghouse of people who might want to do it. That's a terrific idea. Yeah. I don't know. Hey, Wolf, are you listening? We need some help.
Yeah. I tell you what, we need to... this is sort of like the end of the first hour.
Already?
John, am I going to get to talk with Larry online? Okay. Larry, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Thank you so much for the tickets. I look forward to that keynote speaker.
Pleasure.
Okay.
Larry, I will tell you that also real quick that... Digital Equipment in Alta Vista was the first company to register a commercial internet domain name, and they were the first ones to develop a commercial firewall.
Wow.
And they developed the first internet search technology, and you'll hear all about that.
That's pretty awesome. Is it particularly expensive to register a domain name?
Larry, if you want to, we need to break away for a commercial. I just want to take it and say congratulations.
That's all right.
If you want to talk about this, and we'll be more than glad to, I can keep you on hold.
I'll give you a call back.
Okay.
Thanks for
calling 850 The Buzz.
Bye.
Okay. Your calls are coming up next on the station. They want to pay your rent or mortgage and your car payment. 850 The Buzz.